Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we find out what's worse than doing commerce and selling things in Starfield.
Yes, there is something that's worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Let's kick off then with Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, an entire play session devoted to trading goods.
It really was.
How exciting.
Well, that was an entire session, but it was a...
It was at least an hour.
It was a very decent chunk of time just of us just emptying our satchels at Tony because we finally found a merchant that A, had enough gold to buy the stuff we wanted, had gear that we actually wanted to buy.
Yeah, so we could buy that gear, get some gold again.
Yes, yes.
So then sell more stuff too.
And most importantly, we hadn't murdered yet.
Yeah, yes, yes. So yeah, the merchants seem to be very few and far between.
Oh, it seems that way. Like
considering how much gear you collect.
Yeah, I certainly got a lot of gear still sitting in the chest.
Yeah.
I gave you all the valuable stuff.
Yes.
Like then there's still more to sort of go through. It was good though. We got like four or five pieces of gear that people actually wanted, which was very nice.
Yes.
And we only cost us like a thousand gold with all the stuff that we sold, but it did cost us an hour of our time. Sending you stuff again and again and trying to go through the process and sell it. Like, it's not... I think someone raised a point last night that, like, Baldur's Gate 3 is probably a better game solo than it is with multiple people. It's really 100%. Not... Like, it's there, but there's very little care.
Yeah. The Moon Lantern is a great example of that.
Yeah, the Moon Lantern was very frustrating. So we finally got to the Shadow Coast Lands, and it turns out the Shadow Coast Lands have shadows that are cursed.
And that do damage to you.
Yeah, hey, how about that? It's all in there. Yeah, yeah. Then you have to use, you start off with, when you first arrive, you can just use regular torches.
Yeah.
But as you penetrate further into it, you need to use magical lamps. And when we finally found the magical lamp in the castle, there's only one magical lamp for four people.
Yep.
And so now, because there's no follow command, you have to... Well, I had the lamp, so I was trying to run and trying to keep everyone in the bubble.
Aura,
and trying to path to an unknown part, because we're trying to, like, you know, go into the... You don't know which way is which. You're going here and trying to, like, keep everyone together was not a pleasant experience, you know. A follow command would be very handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very much needed in that section. I went out of the bubble once and Josh went out several times.
Yeah, because he's used to running off and trying to kleptomaniac steal everything that isn't locked down.
Yes.
So he's like, oh, I can't do that. No, you got to stay with me now.
Yeah.
And then we got to a fight and I realized, oh, hang on.
Yeah, it's actually equipped in your weapon hand.
Yeah, I can't use my sword. So I'm used here, Tony. You have the lamp. And then immediately, of course, we all get cursed.
Yes, because
until it was your turn, you know. Yeah. It's very much like this is definitely a single player
and the lamp
experience.
It's a club and not a quarterstaff. So the whole time I'm carrying it, saying this, you cannot use this weapon.
It doesn't say anything,
but when I go and look in, you know, my combat options, it says you are not proficient with this weapon.
Yeah,
because
you had
club.
It in your weapon slot rather than the torch slot.
To get it, no, I had it in the torch slot.
Yep.
But it wouldn't do anything. It wasn't doing anything.
You got to press the button then. You got to press the button on the front
of
the UI.
You do it?
Yeah, because there's like melee button and a range button.
But surely if I put my quarterstaff back on, it would have the same problem that you had. It would put the torch away.
Yeah, so you have to press the torch button. So then you get the torch out, but it won't give you that message probably because it knows it's a torch, not a weapon. Not trying to use it as a weapon. So I presume that it won't give you that. I'm making a presumption.
Then I'll just be attacking with my bare hands instead.
Well, you
doesn't
know,
matter.
Or any, that's what
so
I,
it doesn't matter.
But
it's just annoying that
one
of the character classes that doesn't actually use weapons, it's not the right weapon for them.
Maybe we could just put it on the ground?
No, I don't. Oh, well, we can experiment.
We're going to do some science and find out. Because I'm like, how are you? Like, it is very frustrating to basically say one of your characters has no weapons for the fight.
Yeah.
You know, and not have any other way of dealing with it. When they've got for the most part, like a very visceral system with like the throwing and the picking up stuff and moving. Like, it's got to, like, you can interact with the environment. Why can't I just
plant
the torch
in
the ground?
And then stay in the aura.
Yeah, I mean, you have to say in the aura, but that would be, you know, you have to work that out.
That makes a lot of sense now you've said that.
I'll have to give that some science.
Yes.
But yeah, so that was most of that play session was that. And then the next play session was mostly just trying to find the damn lamp.
Oh, and again, it was like a a multi-layer up and down map.
Yeah, they're really tough to navigate.
Where you just get completely... And aside from that, it also had areas that you couldn't go into, or the guards would tell you off and arrest you. So you couldn't actually just click somewhere upstairs and go to it.
No, because
you'd run straight to a room that you're not allowed to go into.
Yeah, the lack of respect for the pathing, just not by default avoiding things that it should try to avoid, is really annoying for getting around and trying to navigate that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the multi-floors is tough because there's no mini map or no main map that you can use to sort of like work out where you are or what's going on.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because I missed that section where that guy's room was when I was running around. I found a lot of other stuff, but I missed that particular.
Yeah, the little roots going up into the floor.
Yeah.
From the rafters above. Yeah, and I didn't see it either. I walked right past it and didn't see it as well.
Yep.
But I did stick my hand right into the elder brain, so.
You did. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Almost got your hand ripped off.
Well, I don't know what would have happened if I'd failed. I was lucky that I passed the saving throw.
Yeah, I think you might have taken some very serious damage or died potentially.
Well, the game doesn't seem to care about its players, so no. You probably would. Yeah.
You know, that I think that the whole experience really drove home the lack of awareness for the characters around you, like what they see. Like, we got caught going into this room, this hallway area, which is not even a room, like. It's just a hallway. We could go around all the rooms. We could open the door and look in from the room we're not supposed to be in into the hallway. That's fine. But if you step one foot in there, you get caught by the guard. And, you know, we walked past two other characters and like opened a door that we're not supposed to be in. Like, we went into the door and there's like, it's the whoever's room it was that we were looking for, and it's full of dead bodies and all this kind of stuff. Like, you would think like it's everywhere. Locked for a reason. No one's going to question us from just walking into this locked room.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the key from? Who are you guys? You only just arrived today and you're in this secret room with all the dead bodies.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
Like, some things are hyper like interactive and other thoughts are like just completely missing.
It ignores the fact that you've done something.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, what else? I got new stuff, which is fun.
Yeah,
new bits and pieces and things, and we've worked out more about like our spells and things, and you know, Josh's respecing into the just stabby man has been very effective.
But then complaining that there's nothing more effective than just stabbing something, which is a good point. Why give you all these options if there really is the best option to just stab them?
He's been trying to use his spells to like, I guess, debuff someone to make, you know, stabbing more effective. So like blinding them or whatever, but everything that he tried to do would end up with himself blinded and taking on the disadvantage and losing the advantage. Like, the blinding feels like it has to be a range attack. Like, I cast fog or cloud.
Yeah, but then you have to use missile weapon to attack them.
Yeah, rather than the double blades, you know. I feel like there should be another, like some more.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Synergy and stuff,
Well, and I also decided that games really shouldn't make you angry.
No, not ideally.
I get quite angry with this game because it doesn't actually respect the D&D rules.
That's problematic.
Yeah, someone who plays a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, they get stuff wrong.
Yeah.
So where's your delay action? Where's your readied action? So if I get my highest initiative roll, but I don't want to do anything yet, where's my delay action? No, the only thing you do is wait your entire turn.
Divinity had delayed action, didn't it?
Oh, I can't remember. But, yeah, I was standing there. I knew the shadow was around behind the tomb. I knew it was there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't run around because I was carrying the moon lantern, so you guys would have all taken damage.
Yeah.
So all I could do was waste my turn.
It's just so boring. So boring. Yeah.
And then they've taken one of the most useful spells a wizard can get and made it completely useless.
Oh, the invisibility.
Improved invisibility. Completely useless because you have to make a stealth check every time you do anything, which is a dexterity skill. And wizards probably aren't going to have dexterity as one of their good strengths, and then definitely not going to invest in the sleight of hand
skill. Why would it be a stealth check?
It shouldn't. And in the rules, it's not. As long as you concentrate on the spell, you're invisible.
Yeah.
That's what the spell is. But for some reason, Larian decided, oh, no, that's too powerful. We can't do that. So instead, I'm going to take it out of my spell book the next time I level because it's utterly useless.
Yeah, you definitely have come out of spells a lot, out of invisibility. And because the wizard always is targeted.
Yeah.
Right.
Being able to be invisible would be so useful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that annoyed me immensely. The other thing that annoys me is the three star statues that we found.
Yes.
It's actually a secret room that you only can open with a whole another section in it that you can only open by passing all three of those saving throws. So again, they totally disrespect the players. They lock an entire section of the area out by making one bad roll on the dice.
And I think as well, it doesn't, there's no indication that that's going to happen.
No.
Like
the, yeah, there you was, just, you, the secret doesn't appear until you pass all three of the skill checks.
But even like I walk into a room, right? I'm like looking around. Okay, looking around. Okay, there's things. Oh, there's a plaque for me to read. Oh, what's the plaque say? Oh, I'm now in the thing that I have to roll. The
skill check.
There's no like, oh, I know like, oh, this one's a dex. This one's a strength. This one's a thing. Okay, guys,
let's get the
you
right
do that
character.
One. You do that one. Yep. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but it when would. It's yeah. but when it's just and like
in person at a table, the DM would hint that to you. So you don't completely screw it up.
I think it's just the interaction part of it. Like, you like in the DM would like, you would he would trigger it off naturally as part of like you know you're going to go into this now rather than you just doing the same cursor icon that you do for
everything
so many
else.
And this time it's actually going to trigger something, you know, and it's just not. I don't know. It's not fun.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
This game has made me angry more than it should.
Yeah.
And not for good reasons. It's just, poor, in my opinion, poor design choices.
Yeah. I really don't see what, I can see what people liked about it. There's lots of good stuff in it. Lots of good stuff in it. You know,
yes,
and I think a lot of that's in the story, which we're missing because
because we're playing at four players.
Four players.
And we're going all over the shop.
Yep. I think the main story, while we're still seeing it all, you know, the way they've done, you know, again, like I feel like other games have done multiplayer story
much better.
You know, the Star Wars MMO, The Old Republic, had a great system where every time there was a conversation, you just picked what you wanted and someone would win the role and then that's what would get said. And then every time you did the conversations, you might end up with stuff that you haven't heard before because you've not picked that option and heard that being said, you know. So at least that sort of gives you everyone can participate. Like, I know you can sort of pick what you want to do, what you suggest to do. But, like, you just, I don't know.
And I absolutely hate that you can't use your other character's skills.
Yeah.
I picked up this religious book. I don't know anything about religion. I'm going to try and decipher it anyway. Oh, I can't decipher it now. It's burnt.
But this would fix it,
why wouldn't
it,
you not hand it to the cleric who's got religion skills?
Yeah, exactly. But if you all have, if you're all in the conversation, right, we could all say, could all go answer. In. And Tony goes, religion. And then that's the only answer we get. And then we have a choice about who gets to answer what at what time. You'd all see, like, you know, if it's a Gith Yankee thing and I've got that ability, that one, I can say, well, let me do it because I've got...
Yeah, I've got that choice.
That choice, you know, or something like that. Like something to sort of like make it a group conversation to what it... But again, it's a single player game that they've tacked on multiplayer.
But I didn't find Divinity was such playing... Because we played through all of Divinity 1 and a chunk of Divinity 2 in multiplayer. And I didn't find the same problem. It can't just be because there were just two of us instead of four of us.
There's probably, a little bit
an aspect
of that.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I feel like a Divinity wasn't trying to be as conversational heavy or story heavy.
Very story.
And having like four options every time you pick something or five or six, seven options. Yeah. I don't feel it was that kind of, it was much more combat heavy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I succumbed to temptation and I looked at magic staves on staves online. And I've got the best one I can possibly have at this stage of the game.
Really?
There's nothing better than the one I'm using.
Why?
Which I'm so underwhelmed with. There is another one coming up that's got a spell on it that I actually don't have in my spell list.
Hey.
So that will actually be useful.
Yeah.
But you got to buy it from a shop. So we just have to
find
not
the shop.
Kill all those people before we find the shop.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
But as a Dungeons & Dragons game, I would rate Celasta Crown of the Magister higher, even though
it's not a Dungeons & Dragons game.
Oh, no, it is.
Oh, no, I was thinking of Kingmaker.
Thinking of Kingmaker. Kingmaker. No. Celasta Crown of the Magister is a D&D game, but it's very much a B-grade company, not a AAA production. But as a Dungeons & Dragons simulator on a computer, I would rate that much higher than
It doesn't have to be 3. A Dungeons & Dragons simulator, but it has to
if it's going to use a rule set, you've got to use all the rules in the rule set, not make up your own.
Yeah. And I feel like the sort of a Divinity problem is on the enemies feel like they've got more spells, more abilities, more utility.
And they outnumber you.
I think probably because they can all go ham on every fight, But we're all stuck with having to pace ourselves with this whole...
We can't burn all our equipment. Yeah.
Oh, and then we didn't rest for so long to try to save the gnomes, but they were already dead.
And they were already dead.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
So again, that's another thing. The game doesn't tell you there are gnomes in this prison. This door will open the prison cells. If you open all the prison cells, the gnomes will run out.
Like,
it doesn't tell you that.
Wouldn't the gnomes wait? Well, we're currently fighting the guards.
Yeah.
Hang out and just see who
wins. And
they've
spoken to us and said, here, help us, give us some tools so we can get out.
Okay, well, hell, why did you immediately run out when we can't help you? Because we're currently fighting a bunch of people. And then we went, because we were waiting for you to join, I thought, oh, I'll just do some science and I'll go and I'll just
find
see
where the gnomes are.
Yeah, and I walked outside and there was no combat. No one's aggroed. We did a whole fight. We killed like seven people. We
killed the warden of the prison.
Killed a bunch of scrying eyes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So you'd think the scrying eye would alert everyone else. Yeah. Nobody else. That was actually the thing I think that triggered me to like, oh, it's not respecting that things are
continuity.
Happening.
Yeah.
Because like, this is only in the next room over.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Not hostile.
Yeah.
Very strange.
This is very strange. It might be because it's a story area. And, like, they need to have it working for the story, maybe, or something.
Yeah, that's 100%. It is a story area. And if everyone was dead, the story wouldn't progress any further.
Yeah, so it can't it can't handle you making some decisions. Then why let us get into a fight with the warden?
And why put some decent magic items on the warden? So on your next playthrough, you're probably going to kill the warden as well.
Yeah.
Because you want those magic items that the warden's got.
Yeah, and the chest of confiscated goods and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very strange. And, the gnome's just running straight out. And because we weren't fighting right near the cell, we didn't even see them run out. It was only when the quest updated itself and said, the gnomes have escaped. They probably won't survive alone.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get over there.
Yeah, like, and we won't take a long rest because we know we've got to rescue the gnomes. Where are the gnomes? No, can't find the gnomes anywhere.
It's gone.
Didn't take a long rest. Oh, the gnomes are all dead. And we couldn't even find the corpses for the gnomes.
No, there were no corpses, nothing, you know. Like, yeah, that's what I was sort of looking around for. That's why I went and started digging into the log. I'm like, I better read the quest log and find out what the hell has been going on. And saw the completed section.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and there it was.
Oh.
He's dead.
Okay. Oh, well, that's another opportunity for story gone. Hmm.
Yeah,
very odd.
It is. They've made some strange
decisions. It does have good moments. I am enjoying the shenanigans of playing with the four of us, like just that part is.
But to be honest, I wish it was shorter, so I'd want to play it again single player.
Oh yeah,
So long. Yeah. I don't want to play it again single player.
No, I probably won't either. We did get a little bit more progression on the whole mystery
main story.
At least now we kind of have a bit more.
Yeah,
we
actually for the first time know what the Absolute is.
Yes.
After running around being hearing about the Absolute for entirety of Act 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretending that we know what everyone's talking about, we have no idea what they're talking about.
And it is like part of the grand plan for
the
Illithids. It seems that way anyway and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, oh, okay, now we've got some context for what's been happening.
Yeah.
Why the Githyanki are around and why they're so anxious and the thing we've got, what that sort of maybe plays into it as well.
Yeah, but I am still primarily confused as to what's actually going on. And the dream person.
The dream person really is the missing key. Like the Illithids are making a playback. The Githyanki are trying to stop them, which is on the face of it, what they've been telling us the whole time. We've now just finally seen proof that it's not just the Githyanki's being invasionary, fantasy Nazis kind of thing. They are actually trying to do what they say they do, which is to fight the Mind Flayers as much as they can.
Yeah.
But there's still the mystery of the dream guardian person.
And I had
what
the
they
entire
are.
Conversation. So I'd stuck my hand into the hole and found out that there's actually an elder brain inside the castle.
Oh, and Josh found that note saying that the humans had worked spells and had stones to try to control it.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to use its mind abilities to control other people. So it's once again human hubris.
Yeah.
You know, and then the elder brain, I guess, is taken over itself because it's, you know, too powerful.
And then I have the dream visit by the dream visitor, and at no point in the conversation can say, oh, by the way, I know where it is. I know where the elder brain is. It's right here. I'm right next to it. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
No conversation choice at all to talk about that with her.
No.
I thought that was very silly.
Very silly. Oh.
It's fun to play, but it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Josh says, it's a monkey's paw. The whole game is continuously a monkey's paw. Something doesn't quite do what you expect it to do, and you end up getting worse off as a result of it.
I think that's, you said it a lot with the environmental stuff, where you're sort of like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen that way. Yeah, you know, no matter how you try to manipulate the environment, it never quite goes.
No, the way you want it to.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
But we are at least into Act 2 now. We've officially got into Act 2.
Hopefully these start to move a bit faster.
Yes.
With these
I know. Act 1 was unnecessarily long.
And then the middle part of Act 1, that's like...
Yeah, which just completely really sidetracks.
It feels like,
That whole...
temple that we did. Adamantine
Forge was just a sidetrack.
Yeah, all of that.
The mushroom people and... Yeah, that was all just sidetrack. Weird. It was so big.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Inquisition in that way, where that first zone was overly large in comparison to every other zone. It was like three times as big as everything else.
Yes.
Kind of thing. It's like, I wonder if it's that, if it's that, because I don't want to spend that long in the Shadowlands with dealing with this stupid thing. I want this to move through quickly, please and thank you. You know, I don't think we need to spend ages here. No. Yeah.
Hopefully it's just front loading.
And hopefully we get more lanterns. Two lanterns.
Well, I've got a broken one, so hopefully we can fix that. Yeah. Two.
Yep. We should have killed Spider-Man and taken his lantern. I'm sure that would have gone down well.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Didn't really know what we were supposed to be doing, which the game almost doesn't care which way you do it. But, yeah, how powerful was he? I had no idea how powerful he was.
It was pretty high on the hit points.
Yeah, I had 100 and something hit points.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of followers who all would stand against us.
Yes, it would have been a tough fight. It would have been a tough fight.
But that was good that they actually did give us the one thing I did like.
Yeah.
When the Harpers appeared to ambush us, it actually did give us a choice
of who
to side with the Harpers or side with the Drider. So I did like that it actually pointed it out.
Like that was an example of it doing that type of stuff really well. Like we could have pivoted then and gone fully against the Absolute kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that would be interesting to see how that played out. It was kind of against our MO to like just immediately turn up on people and start killing everyone kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, but we managed to infiltrate and get some information out of them, which was good.
Yeah.
You know, find out. We can bring the Absolute down in time.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh yes, we can. My hand went black, but it doesn't seem to be black anymore.
No, it wasn't a permanent thing.
No, it didn't have a permanent debuff or anything. Which is good. I don't know one of those. Debuff for just making a narrative choice is ridiculous.
Oh, like the two wisdom you lost earlier? Yes. All right. So let's turn our minds to the other game of the year. Starfield.
Well, join us in the Starfield.
Which I finished.
Yes. Well done.
And like surprisingly finished. I wasn't ready for it. I'll do a bit of prep work, but we are going to discuss the end of Starfield. So if you do not want to know any, not that there's much to spoil, to be quite frank.
No, if you've been playing the game, you pretty much already know how it's going to end.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we were testing that. I stopped the story after having the conversation with Hunter and the emissary.
Yeah.
And I chose to go with the Hunter because the emissary kind of shat me. I don't know why. I just at that moment, I was like,
so who was your emissary?
Sarah.
Oh, Sarah, okay.
Yeah, because that's the only person I've spoken to because I hadn't really spoken developed any. I just take on her like a couple of missions and I talked to her a couple of times. That was enough apparently to get my relationship up high enough. I didn't think I even
Well, it's your flooded. Highest. So if you stay in the lodge, it's your highest rated companion that dies.
Yeah.
If you go up to the Eye, it's your second highest rated companion that dies.
Right. It probably would have been Barrett, I guess. It was the second.
Probably.
Just because he'd been the second highest, longest person I had in my crew kind of thing.
You wouldn't have got the awesome Barrett ability quest.
Yes, that was fun. Did you get that one?
I did.
That was fun. And so I left it there, and then I went and did a bunch of other stuff. Then I needed the ship. I needed the Lightyear ship.
Yeah.
And that started that whole journey of trying to upgrade my ship and the points and all that drama. Anyway, so I got that. I went and did the last two temples.
Yep.
Which just took no time.
Yeah, no time at all.
At all.
Yeah.
And then you basically get a quest to go and like assemble the Unity. I went and did a fight. A lot of Starborn I had to fight. I remember killed like 15, 20 of them. So it was a few, you know, but it wasn't anything difficult.
Yeah.
And then got the last pieces. I think they had a few pieces themselves.
Yeah.
And that's it. You get a message saying, oh, do you want to say goodbye to everyone? You know, do you want to say you goodbyes and things like that? Barrett decided to come with me.
Okay, that's cool.
And then you just go through the Unity.
Yeah.
And then that's
the start of another game.
Yeah, you come back out and what happens is you come back out of Starborn.
Yeah.
You get Starborn shipped, Starborn spacesuit.
Yeah.
Barrett was gone. The Hunter was gone.
Oh.
So they don't come with you.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happens to them, where they end up in their own universes.
Yeah.
And you come in, effectively, you know, when you do the mining mission.
Yeah.
And then you come over.
Yeah.
What does it make you do? It makes you go.
You
go down to the lodge.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, who are you?
Yeah.
And what? No, you're not in Barrett ship. You're in the Starborn ship. You've got the star. You don't have.
Oh, right.
You got the Starborn. You get a Starborn ship for free. Okay. That's your new starter ship. Is a Starborn ship kind of thing. They're like, who are you? And you can kind of like do things like you can sort of like cut to the chase. I know you're getting relics. I know you're doing this. I know you're doing this. And like basically just give away the entire thing immediately, kind of thing. Or you can play it dumb. It kind of. I guess you have options around like how you tackle that part. And when you go to the eye, you've been killed by a Starborn, your version of yourself in this universe is dead.
Right.
And that's how it starts, kind of thing. And it's sort of like, it's a weird feeling, right? Because it's sort of like, oh, okay, you know, you're back at the start of the game, so you have an opportunity to do things differently. At the same time, I'm like, I was kind of only half through the other game as right? But to get more powerful and to get all the points in the skill tree, you have to keep doing this process and reset your levels to keep leveling up and getting points, right?
Yeah.
So it's just odd. I find it really odd choice because they want you to do this, right? They want you to do this process, right? Yeah. But the way they don't tell you it up front.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, we want you to rush through the story as quickly as possible. That's actually how we want you to play this game.
Yeah, and then like this time, right, go through and do the Ranger story, then go through the Unity. This time, go through that and do the Ryujin quest, and then go through and only do like one or two of these side quests.
Completely differently to the way you play every other RPG we've ever invented.
Yeah, and not tell you this is what's going to happen. I'm just like, I would have really preferred the setup being, right, you get to Constellation. They're on the last piece, right? They've like got almost everything right and it's almost done. They've been fighting the Starborn already.
Yeah.
You're coming in at the end of the conflict, the right? Yeah. Then you help them, you kill a bunch of Starborn, get the last piece, you go through Unity and the whole thing resets. Now you're back at the start before everything happened. Yeah, they've only found one piece or a couple of pieces, and then you can, then like the story goes from where it is then. But then you know, if I get the pieces, I get the things, I go through the thing, this is where I work. This is the method of this game. And then I would have approached the whole thing very differently. I would have if you think about, okay, let's take it back a step. Okay, so we're doing a thing that you repeat a lot. You don't need a lot of money.
No.
Because you're going to go through the thing and reset anyway.
Yeah.
You don't need to pick up all the things that way. You don't need to collect a bunch of guns and that's maybe why they're not useful, because you're not supposed to care about that. You're supposed to constantly worry about getting to the level 2, level 3, level 4 powers. You're supposed to beat the game. Why the Bethesda messages in the responses to Steam talked about the New Game Plus so much, because the New Game Plus is critical to this game and how it's supposed to be played. But because they decided they'd hide it behind some very weak source kind of mystery, you don't know about any of that, so you don't approach the game properly.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And
it's not even like the different factions lock you out of doing the other factions.
That would be another thing.
So you can literally play through all the factions in your first playthrough if you want.
Yeah, but that would have been brilliant. Yeah. That, you know, that like, if you go join the UC Death, like there's a UC recruiter, that locks you out of Crimson Dawn immediately, right? Yeah. But it wouldn't matter because you're going to replay it again anyway, and I'll do something different. Like it compresses the whole game down and makes it what it already is.
Much more replayable.
It's way wider, but you're locked out, which is fun, but you don't feel bad about that because the game has a mechanic to make you feel stronger. Yeah. You're coming back with all your perks, all your things, you got stronger powers. You know, you can unlock more temples and get more powers and progress your character that way while experiencing different flavors of the story, you know, and trying. Yeah. And they do, like the Hunter says, oh, I've been this, you know, you do this long enough, eventually you'll be me, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. You can do that, but you have to be prepped for that at the start. start. Oh, so yes. You don't dump 100 hours into that first save and then go,
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah, I'm done.
I don't
now.
Want to play New Game Plus. Like, I've done everything.
Because it's not New Game Plus at all. I would say it's game. Not. It's
actually the same game. Game.
Yeah. You know, it's not, you know, New Game Plus is like, I feel is not critical to the story. I really feel to get the experience, because the game is about the Starborn in a lot of ways, right? They're like everyone else is there, but they're the ones that are sort of like the narrative of the game is the story of the Starborn and what they do.
Yeah.
And you can't experience that until you at least play the game, get attached to some people, and then reset it and then do it again and do it again and do it again. Like, that's what it's supposed to be about. And there's just nothing in the game to encourage you
to do that.
To this out, you know? They could have got you attached to one character.
Yeah.
And then lose them, and then you go through the Unity. So you can get them
technically
back.
Be an entire tutorial until you go through the Unity.
Yeah.
And so it's Sarah or Barrett or someone just guides you through everything until you get to the Unity.
Yeah.
And then, oh, so attached, and now you're gone. Oh, what am I going to do now? All right, well, now you're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
You're going to have to work out what you're going to do by yourself. Yeah, that's a really good point.
I just thought it would have
been a much better game.
What a much better game, hey? All for what? To hide the secret that there's the multiverse, and then like it's.
But
like,
they reveal that
pretty early on.
If you actually just follow the story, they reveal it really early on.
Yeah.
You don't do any of the side quest stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably only 20 or even less hours into the game.
When you think about the actual main story, it's really just go collect the relics and go through the Unity.
Yeah.
That's all you really have to do. There's not really all that much to it. Uh-huh. And that's fine once you understand that you're supposed to go through it and keep going through it again and again. And I think I think that the point about locking out the story branches and making the world more reactive to what you do would make
better.
And that would have encouraged me to do both the UDEF. And they could have spent more time making those campaigns more antagonistic, something as well. Like really,
And you could destroy entire bases or planets or something in one story.
Yeah,
and then it restarts again.
Go back.
And they could have done exactly the same thing with the artifacts.
Yeah.
So then you have to chase different artifacts to get the other powers in your next run through.
Well, the artifacts are on different planets from what I understand. Like they do change. They're not
the same artifacts, are they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They still unlock the same powers.
Yeah. Well, there's the temple and the artifacts, I guess, are the different things. But they don't. I think someone did mention that they're in different spots. Yeah, you can't just rush it and go and do it. You've got to go through the beats, the story to get that unlocked. But, you know,
And I still think that is the stupidest puzzle in a game I've ever played. Flying around a three-dimensional space, unlocking the glowing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay once, but I've done it 20 times now.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it.
And do it down 20 times if you want. Maybe you don't need to unlock them. You probably don't need to do it again, I guess, once you've got them unlocked. I don't know what happens there, whether you need to act, whether they come
to the temple again
to get the next level up or not. I'm not sure. I really didn't play much short of just doing that little bit of intro and then went, I really, it kind of killed my motivation to go back again.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go back to my save, right? I didn't want to go back to that other save.
Now that you know how it ends.
Yeah, I kind of want it because, you know, I do like just living with the choices you make. I didn't want to go and I didn't really have any relationships with anyone to sort of go say goodbye.
Yeah.
Barrett was the closest one and he was already there. So I'm like, oh, well, he's here. Yeah, whatever. Let's move on, you know. Yeah. I don't like, it's a lot of mystery left over as well, which is dumb, like. Where does the ship come from? Where does your spaceship come from?
Unresolved stuff.
Why does no one know about these temples? They're very obviously across a lot of planets. Why is this the first time someone's discovered these things? Like, they're super obvious.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. It's just...
There's gravitational anomalies on the planet. Like, people wouldn't pick that up flying past
like
their ship.
It's like floating stuff, like, in the air. Like, it looks weird. People would be studying this, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot.
There's a lot there that's just so half-assed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Disappointing. I was going to say, this game, pretty much the core of this game, Mass Effect, already did it and did it much better. That's what I was going to say. But there's a lot of stuff that this game does that Mass Effect didn't do.
No, you know, it's more ambitious in a lot of ways, you know, than Mass Effect. It's probably more...
But they would have been better off shaving off a couple of things and getting the other things that are left better.
Yeah.
So I've actually had a very different experience to you playing.
Yeah, stuff. So
I didn't side with either the Hunter or the Guardian because both chooches.
I didn't know you could pick a non.
And Andreja said, "Yeah, go you. That's what I would have done." So Andreja was very happy with
Yeah, cool.
But not siding with either. So I don't know what's going to happen.
You can marry her, I think, actually, as well.
Oh, I've already married Sam Coe, so.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay. I didn't know you can marry him. Someone mentioned it that they did that.
You can marry all of them. You can marry Sarah Barrett, Sam Coe, and Andreja.
Oh, right. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I really didn't talk to anyone in the game.
You got to talk to them a lot and do their personal quests. Their personal quests are amongst the most interesting content in the game.
Yeah, that's annoying because Barrett's one was good. I did finish Barrett's quest line, and as expected, it was, you know, corporate. Yeah. Being corporate, you know, at the end, you know, but it was a good quest chain. I did enjoy it. And I liked the lawyer, I enjoyed the lawyer going, guys, you got me evidence, but this is really not going to cut it. And Barrett's just like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's like, that sounds like a lawyer, you know. It's like, I'm sorry, Barrett. It's not like, fair enough. Anyway,
so I didn't side with either of them. So I don't know what's going to happen. Then you told me about the piloting thing. So, I went and did the UC flight simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over again until I killed enough ships.
Yeah.
So, I actually cranked up my piloting in the flight simulator.
By killing I didn't know there was a flight simulator you could do. Fascinating. You have to do it. When?
To join the UC.
I didn't join the UC.
Oh, you didn't join the UC.
No. Oh, see, I was very... My character was very against the UC. Because... industrialist, kind of the Freestyle Collective was more what it was. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm not joining the UC. I'm Freestyle Collective all the way. I did side with the UC though for the Crimson Dawn stuff, which surprised me that I went, oh, actually, I think this is very against what I'm standing for. Yeah, but in this case, anyway. I think this is the best. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, go
on. So that's interesting because you
that's really clever.
You would have missed a whole bunch of content then. Because this is, when I started doing this, I thought, this is so stupid. There's an entire museum that you walk through that tells you the entire history of the Starfield universe.
Oh, right.
It's amazing. There's so much content in that museum.
Oh, wow.
If you stop and listen to it. And there's an entire thing. Did you ever encounter Terramorphs? Terramorphs are basically this game's Deathclaw. But they don't appear. I've never seen them anywhere until I started doing the UC questline, and now I'm seeing Terramorphs.
Everywhere.
Well, not everywhere. That's where I'm stopped, at the first Terramorph.
Wow, I've not seen any,
So, there, I went to NASA, and again, just like Baldur's Gate 3, games shouldn't make you angry. No. There is so much loot in NASA.
You don't need it, Tony. The game, you're going to lose it anyway.
No, but see, now this is the point I'm about to make.
Yeah.
This is the point I'm about to make.
Yeah.
The game does not respect your personal time one iota.
No.
Because I went, I can't be arsed with all this loot. There's too much loot. I can't carry it all anyway.
Yeah.
There's too much.
Yeah.
I'm going to go past it all. On the way out, I found a chest. I thought, well, I'm just going to do the chest. I opened it, and there was an amazing gun. It was so much better than anything else I've got.
Yeah.
And nice. I went, well, okay. So... the game really does encourage you to continually loot everything, even though you can't carry it, and it knows you can't carry it.
Yeah.
Because it knows it's given you 65 tons worth of gear. It's given you no opportunity to go back to your ship to drop it off.
No.
Zero opportunity, and it still keeps throwing the loot at you. I thought, that's really bad game design.
Yeah.
That's terrible game design. So there was that. Then I did the Split Universe mission. Where there's the base that's blown up and the base that's not blown up at the same time.
Yes.
The two parallel universes that one, and you switch between. And I was really enjoying it, but it's five times longer than it should be.
It's so tedious, and Tony. It's so tedious.
In the end, I just wanted to finish the damn thing.
Yeah.
And I found out accidentally, you can actually save both universes.
I suspected that you could, but I just couldn't be bothered.
You have to. And it's because it's impossible to map the facility because you look, okay, I've got to get through that door. But in order to get through that door, I've got to go through the broken wall back there in the other universe,
jump
back into the fixed universe, go through that door because I can't get there because there's a rock slide in the scrapped universe, go back to the blown up universe, go this way, and now go in and I'm on the other side of that door. It's not like a one-to-one interaction.
No.
It's so badly designed.
I didn't like it at all.
It ruins that.
I think when you said mentioned it last week, you'd only just started it, and I was like, I won't say anything because I don't want to taint you on it.
So, but I was sick of it by the end. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah,
they took a great idea and they shat all over it.
Yep,
it's terrible. And so the only thing I did like about it when I finally finished it, the only thing I did like about it is I saved the living universe.
Yeah,
and she asked me, "Why did you save us?"
Yeah,
and the choice that they'd written into the game was exactly the reason that I had. It says, he chose to sacrifice himself to save all of you, and I wanted to honor that sacrifice.
That's what I picked as well. I mean, in the day, you know.
And that is exactly why I saved all of them.
Yeah.
Because it never occurred to me that you could save both universes. And what you have to do is you have to find his burnt corpse in the fixed universe.
Yeah.
You have to go into his locked room, which requires you bouncing around like 19 times.
Yeah.
You get into his locked room, which is all destroyed because the fire exploded his room, and you find his corpse, and he's got lab notes to tell you what you have to do to save both universes.
Yep. Okay.
But I was just so ready for that to end by the time I would have even got there.
Yeah.
It's
just,
I can't believe how badly designed that mission was.
Yeah, too long and too confusing and just,
so much loot and you can't do anything with it.
Just don't pick it up. That's what you have to do. Just not pick it up.
Well, and then I talked to the security guy and he said, oh, you got to be careful of the bugs. And I said, have you got anything that will help me with the bugs? And it was a whole persuade challenge. I did succeed the persuade challenge. And he gave me an awesome shotgun.
Oh, nice.
It is really good. It literally one-shot almost all of the bugs.
Oh, it's the prototype one, isn't it?
Yeah.
One-shot
almost all of the bugs.
That was good. That was very handy.
And that's how powerful a lot of the weapons should feel.
Yep.
But they don't.
No.
Most of the weapons are terrible.
No. You've got to use core kinetics. That their stuff's the best.
Right.
The Magpul stuff is sick. I love all their weapons.
So there's a lot of stuff we've already talked about before. And
we have, but this
is getting to the end.
Yeah.
And so I got to that and I knew. So then the very next step was.
I had the hunter with me for that mission, though, that you mentioned, which was interesting. The hunter came with me for that one. He's talking about, oh, you're slipping. Be careful. It's going to. Oh, you're back with me now again. Yeah, that really sucks when it happens kind of thing. That was a bit fun to sort of have his commentary about what. I just realized you didn't have him there because
I was by myself.
You didn't side with anyone. Yeah. So that was interesting. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah. I knew that my next step was to go and put the thing together and build the Unity.
Yeah.
Then I went and did the UC quest to build up my piloting in the flight simulator.
Oh, because then you got to do the final.
And I found it. Yeah. So I've got two ships floating in space that I couldn't pilot. So now I want to go back and collect those two ships and put them into my garage.
And so that you can just delete it all and start with a new level.
Yeah. See, that's so silly.
It's just like I spent like all the outpost stuff that I did gone. All that time I spent messing around collecting all those resources for research, gone.
Oh, no, and that's...
Like, it's...
There's too many resources. Oh, and I started cranking into pharmaceuticals, thinking the pharmaceuticals are going to be really useful. No, the pharmaceuticals aren't really useful, and you can't make half of the high-end ones.
Oh, really?
Because they've got... So, it said in order to make the white hole, you need... A black hole and a psychotrope. I'm just making these names up. And in order to make a black hole, you need this unique reagent. And in order to make a white psychotrope, you need this unique reagent. I go, well, I don't have any of them. Okay, so that's going to be in the crafting thing, the one thing, the industrial workbench that I haven't got.
Yeah.
So I start cranking points into the industrial workbench. No, that is actually a completely useless skill line. Because it's all the stuff you find lying around in the world anyway.
Right.
So you don't need that skill line at all. That's just a bizarre choice, in my opinion.
Well, it makes more sense, though, if you think about it. You're supposed to keep resetting the game, going back to level one, or going back and getting more points by redoing the content. You'd have as many skill points as you want to fill out that tree completely because you're supposed to keep going back.
But so, that pharmaceuticals tree is a dead end because you aren't going to know where to find the residuals.
Yeah.
You can't. There's no galactic encyclopedia to say, where do I find this genetic? Yeah, I need genetic material. Right. I have no idea where I find genetic material.
Apparently, the internet's disappeared.
Yeah. And then there's also these exotic industrial components, and they're all exactly like the Tau Retrostat conductor in the supermarket. And they're all stuff that I find lying around in every base. Why would I invest skills in order to build these when I can find them? And everywhere. The only thing you use them for, anyway, is building outposts.
Yeah. Yep. Which
means you have to invest more skills in outpost maintenance to be able to build the fancy buildings on the outpost.
Which, again, you lose as soon as you go through the Unity. So, like, why would you spend all, like, I just... You,
it feels a bit like Anthem at this point. They didn't really know what they wanted to do, so they just did everything.
Yeah, I mentioned this a little while ago, I think, or whatnot, but, like, it was obviously supposed to be more hardcore because you got fuel.
Yes.
Which doesn't exist anymore, and there's a couple other mechanics in the game that
the
just...
the heat, the radiation and all that on the planet.
Everyone's always banging on about heat leeches, but yes, they have no impact on the game at all. Like, you never have to deal with a heat leech or anything like that. Yep. Like, I think it definitely suffered from some either like scope creep or like not knowing what they wanted to do with it. Yeah. You know, I feel like it could have been, if this is the mechanic they wanted to do, like repeating the game, and you, that's cool. I think that is a cool idea. It just needed to be like, the whole thing needed to be targeted just around that.
Yeah. That, you know, should have been the core mechanic thing, of the,
you know,
game.
That's it. That's it, you know, and
front
like
load you with the tutorial, and at the end of the tutorial, you restart the game. So you know that's how this game works.
Yeah, I would definitely would have.
It's a rinse and repeat cycle.
Cool, you know. Yep.
And maybe there's one outpost that you can build that survives. So make stuff really super expensive to build.
Yeah.
But you can build this one outpost, and that will survive a reset. And so then you can slowly trick it out with more stuff as you play through.
I think even just maybe a blueprinting system.
Oh, you know, like, so you could take your blueprints.
And then you've
got
to feed it with resources, and then it rebuilds itself, and then it's back where you were, and then you can keep going it, and then when you leave, you blueprint that thing again, and then you can just drop it back down again and just keep...
Yeah, in its current state.
At least that would give you some... Like, there's a reason to do that. Like, if you build a cool ship, if you spend ages building a cool ship...
These guys have built these amazing ships. Some of the ships online.
Do you just lose them? I mean, maybe you don't. Look, okay.
I'm sure you do. Some guys built this amazing shiny green mantis ship.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right.
I can't believe he spent that much time designing this amazing looking ship, and it's just going to disappear when he does his new game.
Like, it may not. It may be in your garage, but I feel like that I don't know. Do you think?
Did you have more than one ship?
I did not check.
Yeah, because you had the Razor Leaf and the...
Oh, yeah. I had a few ships that I bought. I had the Narwhal and the Shieldbreaker.
But you don't know if they came across with you or not.
I didn't check. I didn't check, to be honest, because I should have done more. I should have done more science. I'm sorry. I failed on my science. Yep. On that.
But how frustrating would that be?
Well, it kind of killed my motivation. I think that's more the point to it.
I guess you don't have no blueprint for that either. It's not like you could say, build this cool ship I designed last universe.
Yeah, like, you know, the ones I purchased, I could just go buy them again.
Just go buy them again.
Okay, I go do the quest again. But the ones you build.
That interface is so painful, you wouldn't want to go through the whole thing again.
Some people really like it. I was like, what is going on? But I'm like, okay, fair enough. Maybe they got more patience than me.
I was really looking forward to the ship building aspect of the game, but it's terrible.
Yeah, I just didn't
get it. It's just terrible. It's clunky. It doesn't have the information that you need on it.
I had to like put the gun, because I tried to upgrade some guns, because I was like, oh, I want to make this ship really strong. And so I tried to put some guns, but you had to like make the gun off the ship and then attach it to the ship. I couldn't just say this hard point, build this gun.
This gun on this hard point.
You know? Yeah. And the whole interface is just...
Well, and the other upgrade thing, it doesn't upgrade your cargo. As if that's not something you're going to want to upgrade. You know, the automatic upgrade things you get.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
None of them is upgrade my cargo space. None of them.
Don't keep possessions, Tony, because you're just going to lose them anyway. That's the message of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
But you need to hoard all your stuff, because the stuff you actually do want to build requires a shitload of materials.
Yeah.
So it's actually, yin and yang. Don't hoard your stuff, because there's no point hoarding your stuff. But hoard your stuff if you want to build something. So I guess the thing is, hoard all your stuff, then build everything you want to build before you go through the universe. Then at least there's been a point to hoarding all your stuff.
I guess.
So does your weapon, not even your weapons come with you?
I don't.
You don't know. It doesn't matter. We'll find out next time.
I did bad science. Now I'm going to science.
I'm going to have to finish it. I got to kill this Terramorph that I'm standing in front of facing off. Oh, yeah. So I didn't say why I stopped playing it.
Well, yeah. Why did you stop playing?
I stopped playing it because they patched it.
Yeah.
And obviously, I couldn't play it while they were patching it.
Yeah.
I was playing it quite religiously because we said we were going to finish it for the next podcast.
Well, I played that night, or night after we recorded. Yeah. And I said, okay, Tony, just by the way, I didn't do, but like,
so,
it's done.
I said, okay, I'm going to power through the end. They patched it. I couldn't play while they're patching, so I swapped to Lamplighters League. And I was really enjoying Lamplighters League, and I got sucked back into that again.
Yeah, you can't.
So, if you actually, it's not, Starfield is not a game that draws you back in once you put it down.
No, I haven't picked it up since
we have to say it is pretty much just a failure.
Look, as the game is right now, I mean, the games can change and move over time.
Of course they can.
As early 2024, it's a bit
It doesn't draw you back in.
I don't think I got my...
As soon as you stop playing it, you don't desperately want to play it again.
Yeah, I don't think I got my... Well, I probably hit the hours number for my...
Oh, yeah, $1.50 an hour value for money. Yeah, I definitely got value for money.
137 hours.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot of hours.
I ticked over the dollar per hour thing on it. But, you know, it's not satisfactory as 1,389 hours.
Yeah.
You know, or...
and the game clearly is designed for you to come back and play it again.
I'm already up to 21 hours on Last Call BBS, and that was a free thing with Humble Bundle, you know, like... That's already well above the you know, dollar per hour, like down to the cents per hour of entertainment kind of thing. Like Starfield's got a lot to, what's Fallout 76 for other Bethesda? That's 1,700 hours plus whatever I did in the Bethesda launcher as well kind of thing. Like that got way more playtime and just, you know, more interest.
There's a lot to like about it, but there's a lot to not like about it.
Yeah.
Did you work out those things at your level? Those fancy graphics on the loading screens?
Oh, it's actually your level. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. No, I do not have
you don't have the gun, didn't come across with you.
I did get a mag shear though, again, which is awesome. Calibrated mag shear pretty early on. So that was, I don't know where I got that from, but I was this is what I mostly played the back half of the game with one of these. So that was good. But no, nothing in my inventory, nothing in the AA.
So even you spend all this time trying to find a really boss gun.
Yeah,
gone. And it doesn't come across with you.
No. Nah.
Yeah, see, that's your level, that fancy icon.
Oh, like, let me get back. Oh, this one here. Yeah,
so you're something five.
Right, I'm 45.
Yeah. So the circle is 30 and the swirl is 40 and the five stars is 45.
And my piloting is maxed out.
Yeah.
So I kept all my points. I've got 7 points to spend. I'm not sure.
7 points to spend.
Well, I got,
you
again.
You should never have skill points. You don't know what to spend on.
That's the problem. I didn't know what to spend them on. I was like,
so
I just.
So you hoarded them instead.
I hoarded them instead. Yeah that's exactly what I did.
Design. Again, said that. We've been saying that all over this podcast.
Well, I mean,
you should always know what you want to spend skill points on. You should never be hoarding skill points.
You know, and feel good about spending them. So
And if that's the only thing that carries over with your play, that's the main crux of the leveling system.
This is what, so I'm on the eye at the moment. You are. Because I went back and I think, my body's gone. It was just sitting here Sarah's was when I died before. And we were obviously friends because he's like, I don't want to see someone else with my friend's face. Can you please go now for a little bit while process the fact that you're still here and I'm not, they're not alive anymore.
And the eye is weird. It's such a big facility, but so empty.
No one's there. It's just like, it's just him by himself rattling around, you know?
Yeah. And there's a gym and there's a bedroom and there's...
It's obviously designed for more people.
Yeah. Really, you make a good point. It does feel like they actually cut a whole chunk of the game away.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's got multiple personality. Like it just doesn't feel.
It doesn't know what it actually wants to be.
Baldur's Gate for what it is. It's consistent in what it is. You know, it is a game. It is what it is. Like there's no doubt that like they set out to make this and they made it. Whether it's good or bad or not is one thing.
Yeah.
But like they certainly
made what they wanted to make.
Yeah, yeah. This feels like they didn't make what they wanted to make. That they had to. Compromise. Had to make different choices for some reason.
Yeah. Let's see your ships. One of two.
Right. So I have Frontier.
But you've lost the Razor Crest.
I've lost everything else. Yeah. So I have the Guardian.
Razor Leaf.
I have a Guardian ship. So it's the first time you get to see inside a Guardian ship. Your ships. Look at it.
Yeah, I've tried to steal many of them.
You can't. It's so frustrating.
Can. Oh, you can? Looked it up online.
Oh, how do you steal one?
You've got to run up to the door while they're still in the ship.
Oh,
then as they come out the door, you go in. That's the only way you can steal them.
Okay.
Whereas I've killed them all outside the ship. So I've got all these Starborn ships lying around on planets with dead Starborn. Well, they're not dead Starborn. They're going to disappear.
It's such a boring ship.
Oh, that's the ship that you meet the... I didn't even get that. That was a ship we were on when we met with the hunter and the...
Right.
I didn't even get that. I thought I was at some base or something.
Oh, really? We met... I thought it was on the surface of a planet outside of NASA. It was a while ago, though.
No, they're standing there. When you come out of NASA, they're both standing there.
Yeah, okay.
And they say, come and meet us here.
Oh.
And you go and meet them there, but it looks like that. I thought it was a facility. It's actually one of their ships.
Ships.
Okay.
You know, it's cool. It's got all this glass and stuff on front and whatnot, but it's like, other than that, it's a very stark, inside, is it?
Yeah,
it's boring, you know, there's no, I mean, I know I complained about the over amount of clutter on my brand new ship. Yes. This is kind of almost the reverse. It's like
utterly clutter-free.
Utterly clutter-free.
There's not even furniture or anything. There's nowhere to sit.
That's there. My cargo hold's empty, so cargo I didn't care. My cargo hold, none of that came through. Let me check my outpost. Just, I'm sure it's not, but let me just
see if your outpost is there.
Oh, I didn't play this on a keyboard and a mouse, so I'm very confused at the controls.
Right. Yes.
Mac to system. Oh, here we go. All right.
Yeah, no outpost. That's a city icon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it's a different icon, isn't it? Yeah. That was I think it was at Valo.
Yeah.
Or Narian, maybe one of these two.
Yeah, no outpost.
No. So yeah,
it does reset everything.
Everything. Yep. As we expected, but just to confirm, so we're not...
Just odd game design choices. Really weird.
Yeah.
But the loot thing really bothered me, that there was just so much loot.
Well,
and I couldn't...
You can't do anything with it.
Do anything with it.
At least with Fallout, you collect it, yes, but then you find a bench and then you scrap it all down and you save a bunch of weight, you know, and like you sort of, you can deal with it while out and about to sort of like keep going for longer, but Starfield offered nothing like that. There was no value to it. It was a bunch of crap that just cluttered up the scanner.
Yeah. Oh, and I found out that you need to get your scanner skill up to level 4 and then your scanner will mark stuff that you are interested in. That should just be in the base game, for crying out loud. That's terrible.
Well, that's probably why I should spend my skill points on.
Yeah, on your scanner. And level 4 scanning highlights the components that you're tracking. When you spin your scanner around, it'll highlight them somehow.
Oh, I love the fact that that means that I will have to like do a bunch of garbage to spend my 4 points on that as well.
Yeah. Oh, to get the mini game.
Yeah. I'll stoop it up.
Scan 15 items. Scan 115 items. Go in. Have you still got it open or have you closed
it? No, I held it for it. I got frustrated.
I'd love to know what it is you have to do.
Oh, yeah. To scan it up.
Yeah, but so many. I mean, and there was even a scanner in Mass Effect as well. So Mass Effect did the scanner before as well. Andromeda had a scanner.
Ah, yes. Yes. And look, I find, I don't know, it's this whole scanner thing in every game I've played has always been a bit. The only thing I've found that's decent for scanner is like the Batman games where you have the Bat Vision that you turn on and then it just highlights the things
you're actually interested in.
Flick backwards and forwards.
That's why? Bethesda,
just copy what's already there.
Would you highlight all the useless crap under the scanner? Because that's what I thought the scanner was going to be useful for, scanning the room to find where the loot is they actually want to pick up.
Yeah.
But it highlights all the crap.
It can highlight everything, but it needs to highlight the good stuff in a different color can scan through and go, oh, look, there's crap. Oh, look, there it is. That's
and then
what
that
I
would
want.
Actually respect the player's time.
Yep.
But I think that's the thing that annoys me the most about Starfield is there is zero respect for the actual human player playing the game's time.
Yeah.
There's all these systems and everything that all just drain your actual physical time.
It's almost like the games that drain your time to drain your wallet. This just drains your time without needing it. There are no microtransactions are kind of like justified. Yeah. It's just add this in. And
so to get from point A to point B on a planet, you have to run there. But you're going to run out of oxygen, so you have to stop running and walk at some point.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no benefit whatsoever in this game to doing that. But if you want to get to point B, that's what you have to do.
Well, that's, again, I think all of that is all part of that whole survival mechanic that they just ditched out of it kind of thing. Yeah. I'd be more interested to play that. I feel it'd be more interesting. At least it'd be more interesting than what it is, you know, kind of thing, you know, like the way it is.
Because there's all these stats on the planets, but they're pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah, oh, it's extreme environment, you know.
Who cares? Means I can't build an outpost on it. That's all it means at the moment.
Yeah. Kind of just just one more complaint about the it's so stupid. Like, you want to like role play,
yes,
right, a little bit. So you don't want to walk around in a spacesuit. People do make comment.
Like, yeah, they do. You know, you don't need that out here, right?
Like, oh no, you're right. Because I've forgotten because there's no visual indication that I'm wearing it or not. And it's super tedious to go take it off, but I do. Yeah. And I feel better that like, oh, now I'm on a good planet. I don't want to be in my stuffy space suit, do I? And then you fast travel. And because you don't know where you're going, you arrive and it's like, alert, alert. You can't breathe. You're freezing cold. Yeah. You know, you're in space. You've apparently traveled this system, gotten out of your space and just got out of your space and just walked outside for some reason. Yeah. Like, why? Why not just put me back in the last spacesuit that I was wearing?
Yeah.
Why is it? Why do I have
why
to go
don't
in
automatically and take the spacesuits off when you're on planets and you don't need it?
Yeah. Why isn't like a separate button? Like I can set up a spacesuit that I wear and then casual clothes. Like a lot of games have that sort of concept of like these two, like even Baldur's Gate 3 has casual clothes.
Yeah.
And when you go to camp,
you're wearing casual clothes.
Casual clothes. So that you, when you're like a bit of role play, you know, when you're going to bed for the night,
you're not wearing your armor.
Or you're just naked like we all are because you don't wear any clothes, you know. But like,
I wasn't naked, but somehow my clothes mysteriously disappeared last session.
That was probably Josh.
Some light fingered drow stole off my clothes.
It's Josh's character, a drow.
Yes.
I keep forgetting it because he's got white skin.
He does. He does not look like a drow.
No, not any way, shape. And he's like really short and kind of stocky. Like he looks nothing like a drow. No wonder he's on the surface. Gnome. He probably got booted out because they're a bit racist, those guys, as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like it just, it's supposed to be a role-playing game and they make it really hard to role-play. It's a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my house that in Aquila City that I never used.
Oh,
so nothing
really?
Of value was lost.
Okay. Right.
You know, I couldn't even remember where it was. I had to go refine it a few times. You know?
I had trouble finding the lodge again once it stopped being my map marker.
Oh, yeah.
Navigating in the cities is terrible.
Yeah.
Trying to find my parents' apartment. I can't remember where my parents live anymore.
Oh, man. That's right. Your parents give you the free ship. Yeah.
Which I'm still using.
Yeah?
I've upgraded the cargo. I worked out how to upgrade his cargo. It looks quite ugly now. It's got bulky cargo bays on the back of it.
Yeah,
but fat ass now.
Yeah.
But it carries a lot of cargo.
Oh, nice, nice.
But I now got piloting. I can fire better ships, so.
Check out the Shieldbreaker. I think that's a nice ship. Definitely the Narwhal might be better on paper.
But the Shieldbreaker looks better.
It looks cooler, for sure. And that it's just that one long tube. There's the Narwhal, so you had to go up three levels. Lucky that I was like only 15 minutes from the end of the game. I didn't really have to deal with it too much before I lost it anyway kind of thing. So, to that point, I am glad that I bought it. See, like, if I'd been prepped, like I kind of knew what was going to happen when we went through the Unity, right? But you don't know.
For sure.
And like even like so we just did science just then, you know, I would have burnt all my money. I would have just...
God, bought some fun ships to play with.
I don't know.
Killed a few of the NPCs just for fun because you know they're not going to stay dead.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, it's sort of like a lot of things got like, I wasted so much time getting ammo and stuff that I now have lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all that digipix that I purchased and med packs to have enough med packs to do me forever. All gone. You know, complete waste of time because I was playing the game that I presumed that they'd made, not the one they'd actually made.
Actually, now that you've said it, it would be so much a better game if they'd made every single system in the game designed to assume you're going to play through the universe.
Yes, absolutely.
Every
100%. Because it would have been unique then as well. It would have been something that I hadn't played before.
Exactly.
The way it is
and
now.
And your first playthrough, you'd be going, why is this all so lean?
Yeah, because you're supposed to like do it again, but do it differently this time and do this differently this time and don't like get focused on that. Just keep, and maybe eventually after you've been through, I don't know, however many times, you say, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is my universe, which seems to be the natural cycle of the Starborn is that you go through these phases and get sick of it. And eventually you just settle down
the
in the universe. Yeah, the pilgrim. Yeah, yeah, he's I'm done.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
here.
I'm you know, that's it. You know, so like, I feel that. Yeah, what happens to the Starborn that you leave behind in the other universe? Are they just stuck there forever? Then is that what happens? Like, only one Starborn gets through the multiverse, and then
you know, I haven't understood that bit of the game.
They haven't
obviously not
it.
Because the Amateur and the Hunter are both in your universe.
So
and they're
both
from other universes.
How do they get through?
It's I didn't understand it. I'm assuming it's just, it's probably that they hadn't thought it through and their continuity is poor.
That's probably the correct answer. Yeah. That's probably the correct answer. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because like you take the Unity with you. It's on the ship. Yeah, because you turn it on. Yeah. Then you. That's right. That's how you do it. You turn it on.
Yeah.
And then you just, the first time you jump anywhere, that activates it and then kicks you through. You know, and then that kicks off the sequence and then eventually you end up on the other side. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. So there's no.
Well, okay. Like, there can only be one unit. If the artifacts are unique, there can therefore only be one unit.
I mean, I guess it might be possible that like they do a Dragon Ball Z. You know, and they dissipate amongst the universe, right, and then you gotta go find them again.
Yeah.
And so that one universe can spawn multiple Starborn unities. As you fight over them, and then eventually keep remaking it again.
Yeah. But that must be what happens. Yeah. Because the Emissary and the Hunter are both in your universe, which means they've used a unity to get there, which means the artifact should all be missing.
I really don't like the whole ancient artifact aspect of this. I feel it's highly unnecessary.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely unnecessary.
It does create the whole, like, you know.
Mystery.
You know, mystery and, like, you got to find the things and stuff, you know. But, like, it's a sci-fi game. Can we not just invent the technology that sends you through multiverses, you know, kind of thing? Like, why does it have to be some ancient alien artifact that we find? I mean, I presume it's alien. Like,
the Protheans.
The Protheans. That. Yeah. That felt more sci-fi. Like, that wasn't...
Oh, yeah, that 100%.
Oh, yeah. Sci-fi. Okay, yeah. This feels more like some
elder... That was a technological beacon sent there as a warning.
Yeah, yeah.
100% more sci-fi than ancient artifacts that we don't know what they do.
Do, you know, because there's no aliens or anything. Yeah. There's no alien ruins
anywhere.
Yeah.
No one's found alien ruins on any of these planets. Oh, except for that one that you just found. Yeah. Oh, and that other one that you just
found. This whole temple. What's this temple? Where did this come from?
Found. And, oh, yeah, we've got calibrated the eye so we now can see them all.
And you know what? You know, people have found it because you can see a human outpost over there. Like, it's not that far away. No. Someone definitely saw this temple. It's
within visual range of the temple. Yeah.
Oh, procedural generation, Tony, is not good. I don't like it. I got a bug with it this week as well because I've been playing Valheim. Can we digress?
Digress.
Yeah.
I've bashed stuff.
Enough. Yeah. We've been playing Valheim. I've been enjoying it. It's been fun. You know, I mentioned last week, way too grindy, particularly for two people, and I still stand by that. You know, that's a design decision on the game. That's fine. But, like, the procedural generation of the world, because it uses a seed and then it just generates it out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's the pits. Because we followed the markers for the bosses and started exploring in that direction, right? And so when we had to go find mountains, we're like, well, we're already out here. Let's just keep looking... The mountains, went through 8 mountains, no bosses, no boss stones to point us to the right direction, very few caves, to the point where I'm like, oh, well, I know the game's been patched. Am I not under, because there's no instruction, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I missing something? So I throw the save game into a generator so I can see the whole map.
Yeah.
And when I look at the map, right, there's this 1/8 slice of the pizza, right, that we've been exploring all the way to the edge of the world, right? Yeah. This part here. And when you look at like where all the stones are and where all the caves are, this slice is none. I'm not joking.
Absolutely like,
it is,
zero.
It is devoid of anything of useful in the mountains. So if we'd gone any other direction,
you would have been fine.
Would have probably been fine, you know, kind of thing. But because we went that way, we just had a terrible experience. You know, it just wasn't fun. It's not fun to have to, you know, just sail against the wind because you have to go this way so you can go to this mountain that you climb to the top of, and then there's
nothing there.
Nothing there to do. It's a complete
and utter waste of time.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, let's try this one and this one and this one. I'm just like,
do it again. I hate this game.
You know, I just feel like when you have a real someone's like if someone made that map,
there's no way. Nothing in it.
They'd put someone there, you know, so that at least you know it'd be. Yeah, so just the procedural when do at Starfield, like they just procedure generate the planets and put these outposts next to the thing, so it makes no sense story wise. And Valheim does the same thing with not making the thing that you need, because there's no other way to find a boss spawn. Either you find the stone or you literally run up to the spawn and go, oh, look, there it is, because I'm physically standing on it kind of thing. So it was like, oh, that's not fun. So now I've just fine. That's, I've loaded the map now. I now see where everything is. So I'm just using the map now kind of thing, you know.
Why not?
Anything that they could have added to make that less RNG kind of thing. But I guess, again, it's a grindy game. You're supposed to just spend ages searching for stuff and, you know, whatnot. It's just, I don't know. It's just annoying.
If that's like, your thing, then
go for your life. Hey, look, some people on that subreddit have been talking about doing no map runs where they don't have a mini map, no main map. They just mark paths and handwritten notes and like you know, because you can use the tree. As like a as a navigational beacon because it doesn't move in the sky, so you can, you know, more power to you, man. I got no time. I got I got no time to spend like like a whole year just doing one round of Valheim. Does not no. So at the moment we're doing a more interesting part of the game, which is planes. So going through the planes and taking out goblin villages. And what's really good for that is when you kill a goblin, you get one piece of black metal ore.
Okay.
And then when you take a camp out, often the chests have more black metal. So you can get a decent amount of black metal just by being in the plains and just killing enemies. Goblins. Unlike
genocide.
Yeah, absolutely. Those goblins suck, man. They killed me a lot of times. So I'm getting my revenge.
They deserve to be genocided.
The armor tier for the planes that you get after you get flax and you process flax, you get a new set of armor that you can make.
Yep.
And do you think it requires the black metal that you have that you're collecting in the planes?
Of course it doesn't.
No, it requires more iron from the swamps that two biomes behind. I'm like,
of course it does. Why would it not?
I'm like, no wonder I got so sick of doing crypts before, because you kind of do it to get the gear, the iron gear for that phase, and then you got to go back and pick it again because it still needs it.
That doesn't make any sense, because you wouldn't use a resource that doesn't exist in your area.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, you're supposed to go explore and just do more crypts, but then nothing else in the swamp gives you iron. The only thing that gives you iron is going into those crypts. It's not like they don't have like, it's not like now in the plains, I can do something else in the
plains to get iron.
You know, well, they've got another resource. They got tar as a resource now in the plains, which is a new addition, which was interesting. That's, you know, that's kind of fun because they got blobs. Oozes that they're in the swamp, but they tell them they're full of tar and they shoot tar, poison tar things at you, and they attack everything in the plains and kill it. And so when you got to then drain the tar pits to get stuff out of the tar, and the bottom of the tar pits is like locksmead and black metal where they've killed goblins and stuff and it's all sunk into the bottom of the tar pit.
That's clever.
You know, so that was fun, but there's no other method in the plains to get iron that you would use to make the gear that you get when you unlock the plains. It's like,
that's really silly.
It's silly to go back and keep doing the same boring thing I've already done a bunch of times. It's so strange. It's really a fun game. I really enjoy it a lot. But it's one of those, a little bit like
stuff. Game design decisions again.
Look, the grindiness I feel is intentional. It's intentional throughout the entire experience of the game. They even make a joke about it kind of, because you dream every night, right? And one of the dreams is, oh, you spend all day fishing and farming and building and doing this only to wake up and you feel really good and you're refreshed and then you wake up and then you got to do the whole thing again, you know, today. So they kind of, that's part of the game, but the iron thing in particular and like the amount of the resources that you need to build it and how you get it, that is,
of getting it.
Versus the other ones, because silver, you don't need that much of it. Like, it's kind of a bit of a pain to get, but you don't use that much of it because you then move on to black metal.
So it doesn't matter that it's a pain to get.
Because you're not using up stacks of it. You're not using it for building, for weapons, then for another tier of gear. It's like, guys, could you not just use black metal? Like, that's, like, we're literally getting that in this biome. That's the point. You know? It's strange. Anyway, but the procedural generation thing was more the, got me. I'm like, oh, well, I'm using the map now, so I'll just use that to scout out and see what's going on and, you know.
Interestingly enough, though, I read an article today that none of the aliens and stuff are procedurally generated. Every single alien in the whole game has been designed by someone.
Well, that's really weird, because some of those aliens look like they were procedurally generated. Right? They do not look...
actually been designed.
Isn't there an alien with its brain outside of its body? I'm sure I've seen that.
They designed that. They wanted it.
What sort of evolutionary pressure do you think evolves to that says, hey, having my most sensitive, most important organ on the outside of my carapace is a good idea.
They also said they wanted to put some surprises in there. So not everything with pointy teeth is a carnivore.
Yes, I did notice that. And
not everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, not all carnivores are bipeds and not all herbivores are quadrupeds.
Yeah.
They did say that they wanted to mix them up, and some aliens are the complete opposite of what you would expect them to be based on what they look like.
Yes, I did notice that.
The brain outside the body thing, they wanted you to think exactly what you just thought. They did it on purpose to make you think.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That is interesting, though, that they did spend some time doing that. Yeah.
I'm undecided.
I don't know. They're not very. Some of them are really good, and other ones are like really overly complicated and overly weird. You know, to the like. I know some animals on Earth are really weird.
Yes.
And particularly when you look at like other environments, like the sea and stuff like that, you really get some weird. You know, for the most part, though, they kind most animals. Mostly look the same because there's only a few designs that they really work.
Yeah. Everything else has died.
You can't
prove. Every other experiment has died.
I mean, we haven't found an alien horse to like say, oh, yes, that is true. But yes, look, I don't mind. That never really bothered me, I guess, because it's a sci-fi game. And I guess seeing a bunch of horses everywhere is not very interesting.
No.
You know, versus some of the other stuff and whatnot. But I am I'm intrigued that it's not procedurally generated and someone actually decided to make it.
Them all.
Yeah.
With a team to design the aliens.
Yeah.
This thing is 200 unique aliens or something.
Wow, really? Yeah. See, they spent a lot of time on this game and still just
passed it.
It shows you that all that work, like all that work those people do really have no, you know, like there'll be different teams of people to sign different parts of the game, you know, and all that work those people put in there doesn't.
It's up to the person that's got the overall vision to make the game good.
The game could have been way flatter.
Yes.
Leveled faster and pushed you through the levels quicker so you could reset again and go back through the portal again and reach some of those outer zones. Yeah. You know? It's a really frustrating to sort of think, I get it to level 75. Well, I guess you would, I guess maybe, no, okay, I take that back because like now I'm starting at 45. I could get to the higher level to get some of those outside star systems that are like level 75. Like by the time I did two or three playthroughs, I would have gotten to those outer zone things.
I wouldn't want to play through.
Well, because I didn't design the playthroughs to be short.
No.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. They made it too long.
Yeah.
For this quick, because, you know, the whole point of a roguelike like this, which is effectively what it is.
Yeah.
You know, is to it's die fast. It's a
sophisticated roguelike.
Yeah. You know, with really long runs, you know.
Yeah.
Like a 130 hour run, you know.
You play once. No,
that was it.
I died. I'm not doing it again.
It's a single run game now, guys. That's it. You know, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's call it there. For this week, I'm curious to see if you jump back in to finish it off and just to get that last little intro bit. Sounds like you're.
I want to go back and play Lamplighters League.
Yeah, well,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
I actually want to play that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, leave it. Go play Lamplighters League. That's something you enjoy at least. You know, I like to hear about. I do want to finish
Starfield, but not as much as I want to play Lamplighters League.
Yeah, I'd wait. Yeah, maybe you'll feel more like. Like when you sort of when you finish a game, you're sort of like, yeah, what can I do? I'll go back and just knock that out and be done, and just to see it for yourself, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been playing Last Call BBS, which is like it's a simulator like for a bulletin board system kind of thing. Like they kind of made all this anachronistic stuff you got to dial in and all this kind of stuff, but I think the real draw about it is all the games that they've got. So they've got these really weird games to play, so I'm still like working my way through some of them kind of thing, have really caught my attention kind of thing. Some of them are so bizarre and weird that I can't even understand what I'm supposed to do with them. Like it's a kind of a snapshot from gaming back in those days where games were a bit more off the
abstract,
wall. And like, probably no different than what the indie gaming scene sort of churns out regularly as well today. That's really oddball kind of stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, looking forward to talking with you about that next week.
Okay.
So until then, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.